I'd like to read a portion, very well-known verses, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And it says there, I'll repeat it again in verse 17, Come, for all things are now ready. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Come, for all things are now ready. And that's the message of the gospel to whosoever will. And that wonderful word that the Lord Jesus quoted, Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I often think that it's possibly God's favorite word is come. It's an invitation to guilty, lost sinners. And his arms are outstretched to this world tonight. He say unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you heavy laden with sin? He can take all those sins and wash them away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm going to heaven one day and very soon. And I'm going there because of the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. I'm going there because He shed His precious blood there on Calvary's cross for me. He did it all for me. I didn't do a thing. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, what is your reaction to this? How do you stand in this? I say, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? You can come tonight, and surely, as I repeated that verse again, I love to quote it, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many there are in this world are so heavy laden with sin? Heavy laden with sin. But the Lord Jesus in His matchless grace can take those sins. He bore them all on Calvary's cross for me. In those dark hours on Calvary's cross, He could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, He was there on account of my sins, being the sin bearer for us, because He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. I want you to sing with me tonight, number 17.
Have you any room for Jesus? Thank you.
Now you know this song that we just sang says, you got any room for Jesus? Think about that for a minute. Have you got any room for Jesus? He's asking you this. He who bore your load of sin, have you got any room for this blessed one who hung on Calvary's cross for you? How could you refuse such a message? How could you refuse it? Have you any time for Jesus? That's the question. Have you got any time in your life for Jesus? Have you got any time for Him? And He's pleading for you to come. I always like to quote that verse, John 7:37, in a gospel meeting. At that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And I like that because you know this may be the last gospel meeting that will be preached. Last gospel. Think of it. And the door will be closed forever. It'll be too late. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. You know, it is a very, very solemn thing to sit in a gospel meeting and unheeding the precious news of salvation. You're saying to the Lord Jesus, I've got no room for you, not in my heart. I've got no time for you. I want pleasure. I want to enjoy this world. You know this world is going to pass away. And what a wicked world we're living in right now today. You pick up the newspaper everywhere, and there you can see it. What awful, awful things are happening in this world. Why? Because I believe the Lord's coming is very soon. Very soon. Have you any time for Jesus? I got on the train to go downtown. MARTA train in Atlanta. And I got on the train to go downtown. And I like to look around. I like to look at everybody on the train. And, just look, go up and down the rows and look to see what they're doing. You know, I've discovered, and maybe this discovery is not new to anybody here tonight, but I've discovered that Satan has found a great tool in turning man's eye away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found it on that train. What is it? The iPhone. The iPad. The cell phone. The computer. Turn your eyes, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. And here they are. And they're looking at it. And they're fixed on it. They don't look around and see what's going on. Sometimes I wonder if they're getting off at the right stop because they're so busy with it. Think of it. You know, I hope there's nobody looking at an iPhone here tonight. Why? Because this is a solemn occasion, the gospel meeting going forth. And you're responsible for it. No, I know you're not. So we find in Luke chapter 14, we have these men that we read. Excuses! Excuses! Now, if you're not belong to the Lord Jesus, what's your excuse? Why? Why? Why haven't you come to Christ? Why haven't you? You know what that says to me? That says to me a cold heart. Cold. Cold.
What's the first one?
Oh, yeah. I want to relate this.
He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready.
My wife has got a picture, and she might have got it at a garage sale or something like that. Upstairs, in a bedroom upstairs, and it's a picture about like that, and it's a picture of a table, and there are chairs on either side of the table, lovely cutlery, dishes, everything. You know something about that table? It's a long table. A long table. And it goes on into infinity. You know something? I'm going to sit at that table. Because my Lord is going to be there. And that could be your portion. You could be there. What a moment is just before us. Think of it. To hear the shout. To hear the shout tonight. Wouldn't it be nice? Here we've had a beautiful two days of meeting. Wouldn't it be nice to top it off with the Lord coming and take us home? Beautiful. Oh, how I long. But I got an excuse.
What is the first one?
They all, with one consent, began to make excuse.
The first said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee have me excused.
Well, what is this? I bought a piece of ground. So let's translate this into today. I bought a piece of ground. I need to cut my lawn today. I need to trim my hedges. I need to go through my flower garden. I need to look after that piece of ground that I got. But I got no time for the Lord. You know, I like to make it this way. Make time. It's worth it. Make time. It's worth it to spend those quiet hours with the Lord. You know, my wife and I, we just really enjoy getting up in the morning and getting out into the Word and reading and talking about it and praying. Oh, how wonderful it is to be over the Word. And what is it says? Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. This man bought 5 yoke of oxen. And it's kind of a lame brain excuse, isn't it? You don't go and buy a car unless you look at it. Unless you get your mechanic to look at it. So this man, he says, pray thee have me excused. I bought this car. What an excuse. What an excuse. I gotta wash my car. I gotta lubricate it, change the oil, everything else. It's gonna take me all day, and I got no time for the Lord. No time. No time to think about my salvation. That's it. You see, that's what I read there in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. But oh, I want to tell you again. He's saying to you, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Oh, I know that the answer quick would be, Bring your wife. Bring your wife. Bring your friend. Bring your friend. The 14th chapter of Luke is this. Earth with all its hindrances. The 15th chapter of Luke is this. Heaven with all its blessedness. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The 16th chapter is this. Hell with all its miseries. And I ask you tonight, what chapter are you on? What chapter are you in? Thank God, by the grace of God, I'm in the 15th chapter. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. I repented of my sins long ago. Yeah, really long ago. Probably 60 years ago. Not sorry for it. He's been a tremendous Savior to me. I've failed Him many, many times. But I want to go now to the... Noah will make a comment on the 16th chapter first, and then we'll go to the 15th chapter because that's what I have in my heart tonight. The 16th chapter is about a man that lived for himself. He didn't have any time for Jesus. He didn't. It says, there was a certain rich man that which had... Am I in the right chapter? What?
Verse 19.
Okay. Sorry. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise also Lazarus evil things, but now thou art comforted and tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. This man, rich, he had everything. I've got all these riches, I don't need Christ. No, it says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it's not impossible. Zacchaeus came, he was rich. He was rich. But this man didn't care. He fared sumptuously every day. But he left God out of his life. Left God out of his life. And it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Does God want to send a man to hell? No, no. The last thing that God wants to do is to send a man to hell. I like to quote that verse in Ezekiel. It says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way. And then he says, turn ye, for why will ye die? It's exact, I think it's Ezekiel 33. God does not want to send them into hell, but he has no other course if he rejects this wonderful offer of mercy. You know, it is an insult to God to reject his wonderful salvation. An insult. He's provided everything for the sinner to come to him. Think of that. Provided everything. No. No. But yet, you know, here's the fellow here that for years said no to the Lord Jesus. Is it possible that there's a young feller like me, like I was years ago, sitting in this audience and saying no to the Lord Jesus? It's solemn. Oh, don't. This world has got nothing for you. Nothing for you. What has the Lord Jesus got for you? Love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with fatness. What a God we have. What a God we have. Go now to chapter 15. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, if there was one sinner here tonight that came to the Lord Jesus, there'd be joy in heaven. Thank you. Joy in heaven. Oh, how wonderful it is when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But you know, maybe tonight, the last sinner will be brought in and the door will close forever. The door will close to the day of grace forever. It'll be too late. As the song goes, too late will be the cry, Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. He says, Father, give me. You know, I like that because we have a giving father. We have a giving father. He's given the very best to you and I. First of all, the gift of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What good is a gift if you don't take it? What good is a gift if you don't take it? Oh, receive this wonderful gift. Oh, this father loved his son, and he divided unto both of them his living. And so this son says, ah, boy. Money in my pocket, hey, and I can go now, and I can do some of the wonderful things that I wanted to do. And so he goes off into a far-off land. He goes off into a far-off land, what does it say? And many days after, the son gathered all together and took his journey into a far-off land, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Began to be in want. You know, for you and I can say this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything. He's done everything for me. He's supplied all my need, all my life. Thank God I have. A wonderful God. Oh, do you know this God? And then it says he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. What a horrible job to feed swine. And for a Jewish boy, that was awful. It was an unclean animal. He joined, and you know, that's what the world offers you. A job feeding swine. And then it says, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. I'm going to just pause there for a minute. He fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Now let me ask you a question. Do you like watermelon? Yeah, in our house, the watermelon goes in a hurry. Okay. Do you eat the husk of the watermelon?
Why not?
Why?
It hurts.
It doesn't taste very good. Do you like corn in the cob? Do you eat the cob? No. It's garbage. You put that in the garbage. You don't eat that. But you know, that's what's happening in this world. Men are eating the garbage. The garbage. I was a car mechanic downtown Vancouver. And we had a lane behind us, behind the garage. And there were dumpsters down there. And we used to watch them. We used to call these guys the garbage detail. And they would go up and down the lane searching for garbage, whatever they could find. Now one day, when I was down there, this man came and opened the dumpster and picked up some garbage. He picked up a grapefruit. And without a word of a lie, it was half rotten. You could see it was rotten. He picked it out of this garbage. And you know, there are, in downtown Vancouver, there are garbage cans all the way down. And there are people that are fishing through those garbage cans all the time to get anything. McDonald's coffee I don't like. But I spotted a man that got into a garbage can and there was a McDonald's coffee half there. He took it up and drank it right there. And oh, awful. I spotted another man on a boat and it was a restaurant and this man just sat there and watched everybody eat. And then a group of people got up and left some chips, cold, part of a hamburger, and he proceeded to sit down and eat the rest. Garbage. Garbage. And yet, there are many that are doing that very thing. Garbage of this world. When he came to himself, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'm going to just stop here for a minute. And tell you a story about myself. No, I'm not going to tell you all the gory details that I did when I was a wild stallion. I'm going to tell you how the Lord turned me to Him.
I grew up in the McDowell Division in Vancouver. It was, to me, not a very good meeting. Mostly old folks. And I really thought that, to me, maybe it wasn't that way. They didn't care about me, and I didn't care about them. And so I left. I went away. I was working over in Vancouver Island. I was over there for 4 years. Meanwhile, my father had left the McDowell Division, and through the guidance and of our brother Gordon Hayhoe, he spread the Lord's table in his home, 1954. Just after that, I came home from took up residence in my bedroom. And I resumed my acquaintance with the boys that I had chummed around with for years. And those boys that I chummed around with were unbelievers, and we did a lot of nasty things. It's Saturday night. Always Saturday night. That was the big night. So I met the boys, and downtown we went. And I came back about 2 o'clock in the morning, went to sleep. About 11 o'clock in the morning, I heard singing. I woke up to singing. What was happening? They were singing upstairs. And I recognized some of those tunes. Many of them that we sang in Lark Street. I couldn't hear all the prayers or anything else like that. And they were singing. So I waited till about 12 o'clock. I knew they'd be finished by 12. And I went upstairs to the bathroom, got cleaned up. And I came out, and my dad says, this is my son, Al. And about 4 or 5 different brothers came to me, and one brother especially came to me and gave me a big hug. Glad to know you. Now, let me ask you, would you hug a person that smelled of tobacco and booze? This man did. I said, what's going on here? And this happened. And every week after that, there were people coming from Seattle, Tacoma, Hoquiam, from Toronto, all over the place. They were coming to visit my dad, to encourage him. And this new table that had been spread in Vancouver. And you know, this is new to me. I couldn't figure this out. What's going on? We never had this in Lark Street. If we had one visitor a year, maybe. And every one of them that came were so friendly, and they come up with a friendly handshake. I just couldn't figure it out and why they were doing it. Why were they doing it? Why were they doing this to me? I didn't deserve all this. So friendly, so nice. A big hug. Well, after a few weeks of this, I decided I think I'll go and sit in the meeting. So I sat in the meeting. And the next week, I sat in the meeting again. And again. And again, you know, and then my dad said to me, he said, look, Al, there's an all-day meeting in Seattle this weekend. You want to go? Well, no. Okay, if I can take my car, I had a Cadillac, okay?
old one. And so, yeah, we went down to Seattle. And, you know, large street meeting, there was maybe 10 or 15 people. We got into this meeting room. It was a great big house. And there were 200 people there. I said, where did they come from? I just couldn't believe this. You know what was happening in my life? The prodigal was on his way home. The prodigal was on his way home. And that's the way it went until the Lord completely restored me. And one day, I had to make the final decision. We were down on the beach with the boys. I said, look, I can't walk with you anymore. I want to follow the Lord. Can't do it. You know something? After that, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. Because I made a stand for the Lord. The prodigal was on his way home. And what happened? He comes to his father and he says, Father, I've sinned. You know something? Those three words, I've been told, are the hardest words that a person can say. I have sinned. Yeah. You've sinned. Just think of it. I have sinned. To admit that I'm a guilty, lost sinner on my way to hell. And coming to Him, coming to the Savior, say, I have sinned. I will arise and go to my Father and will say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee, and I'm no more worthy. Was I worthy? Are you worthy? You know what the very first verse of this chapter says? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, receives sinners. If He can receive you, He can. If He received me, He can receive you. I repeated this before. Some of you know my nephew Wayne Coleman. Anyways, he was worse than I was. I'm telling you, he was worse than I was. Motorcycle gangs, you name it, the whole bit. The Lord saved me. You know, his mother came to me and she says, Allie says, if the Lord can save a guy like you, there's hope for my son. And the Lord saved Wayne too. Going on so nicely. Dear brother in the meeting, really taking hold of the scriptures. We value that, dear brother. Isn't it wonderful? It's the grace of God. Do we deserve it? The sovereign grace of God that picks a rebel sinner up and saves him and puts him on a heavenly road. The grace of God. And it's the grace of God. You know, this young man had to grow through this to realize that he was a guilty, lost sinner. And he comes to his father and he says, I'm no more worthy. No, I'm not worthy. But what does he do? Make me as one of thy hired servants? No. And he arose and came to his father, and while he was yet a great way off. That just shows you that He was waiting for you to come. And the Lord Jesus tonight is waiting for you to come. When He was a great way off. The Lord Jesus knew I was a great way off. And He was watching me for it to come home. Beautiful, isn't it? What a God! His father saw him. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, think of the love and affection of the Father coming to his Son. Fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, isn't that nice? How wonderful. And this affection of the Lord Jesus, you, again, be yours all through your life. And again, I say, He's looked after me and cared for me all my life. What a God I have. And you know, that's the God I'm going to spend an eternity with soon, tonight. Tonight. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But, I like those words, but, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You look up all those words, but, that's a challenge. But, the gift of God is eternal life. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. But God, and the Father said in verse 22 to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet. What is a ring? It's eternal love. When I married my wife 4 years ago, she gave me this ring, and I gave her a ring. It's eternal love. I love you. I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. The best robe. Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a robe of righteousness, as a bride groom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. Isn't that nice? Isaiah, can't think of the exact reference now. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. That is beautiful to me. God is my salvation. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, we don't need to worry about the future. Our future is all settled in Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? The best is yet to be when we're going to see him face to face. But this elder son, I better go back there. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house and heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy father has come, and thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Think of that. Would not go in. Is there somebody that tonight here is saying, I will not go in? The father came out and entreated him.
Oh, when I think of that, how God is entreating sinners to come to them tonight. Over and over and over to hear the gospel. The many messages, the many ways and means that God is presenting the gospel to sinners. I'm so thankful that I can go down the street and hand them all. It's the message from God. And Brother Don, those tracks are so good that they sell themselves. I just got to hand them out. No problem. They take them. And it's a message from God. Wonderful. And he answered and said, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 31 says this, And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know, this tells me one thing. This elder son is a type of Israel. Type of Israel. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. To think of how God pleaded for the nation of Israel. You think of the Apostle Paul who can say, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And yet they rebelled against God. They went into idolatry. He had to bring them into Babylon. He entreated them. And yet they turned their back on him. And it's just like this man. Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. He gave them anything. And do you think that how he redeemed them out of Egypt with a strong hand? And he repeats that over and over again, reminds Israel over and over again of what he did for them. I was billeted in North Carolina with a man. They asked me to. And he was a Jew. And I stayed there the 3 nights that the conference was on. A nice man. But each night I came after meeting, and I got up in the morning and left. But he had the old TV on full blast, and you could see that what he was looking at wasn't too pleasant. But finally, I wanted to talk to him. I forget his name. Sorry. A neighbor of Burt Council's. I said to him one day, I want to read some scripture to you. And I went to Isaiah 53. And I read him Isaiah 53. And I said, look. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? It couldn't be anybody else but the Lord. Nobody else but the Lord. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, all day long have I stretched out my hand. Oh, okay, I didn't quote that right. Anyways. Is there somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus? A little one? A teenager? You come tonight. He'll save you. He'll receive you. He's a wonderful God. Let's thank him.